but that rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. I want to emphasize verse 15 and verse 26. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word. Amen. The word fortune has many meanings. But I want to speak to you this evening on Barabbas, the face of good fortune. And when I speak about good fortune, I'm not talking about chance or good luck. I'm speaking about that which happened suddenly and unexpectedly. About 20 years ago, some young men from Freeport Gospel Chapel and myself made a trip to Murphytown, Abaco, on a weekend and a short missions outreach. We had a wonderful experience. We saw people saved, young and old. We encouraged the saints there at Bethany, Murphytown. But on our way back that Sunday afternoon, we were traveling on a chartered plane or on a plane that was an old DC-3. And some of you will know that old planes, the noise and how big they were. We took off from Marsh Harbor. We landed in Treasure Key to take on some more passengers. And as we were taking off from Treasure Key, something happened to the airplane. We got above the trees about 30 to 40 feet off the air. And all of a sudden the airplane stalled. And I don't know about you, if that ever happened to you, what flashed before your eyes? But imminent death flashed before mine. And those that were on the plane like it was suspended, and then all of a sudden it began to descend. And some of us thought that was the end. But in God's providence, God allowed the pilot to maneuver the plane back down to the runway. And if you've ever been to Marsh Harbor and Treasure Key, you know that the Treasure Key runway is much longer than the Marsh Harbor runway. And I believe with all of my heart, if that had happened in Marsh Harbor, I would not be here today. Because the runway would not have been long enough. But we were fortunate, we were blessed that God in His providence saved us. The pilot landed the plane, he got out, and he said, oh, something wrong with the flaps. And he bent outside and adjusted it, and, you know, we took off again. How many of you would have gotten back on that plane? But we did. But what a fortunate experience for me. But 2 years ago, we were in Man of War, my children and I, and it was on a wet afternoon, and they wanted to go for a ride. So I decided to go out in the golf cart, and we would ride around Man of War. And those of you who've been to Man of War, you know that wouldn't take long. And if you know anything about Man of War, there is an incline and there is a steep hill that goes down to where you meet Aubrey's Sail Shop. And we were coming down that incline, that hill there. And the road was wet, and I just gently pressed the brake. But guess what happened? It started to slide. And beyond ahead of us was a dock and water. And my daughter was 9 at the time, was in the front. My 11-year-old son was in the back seat there. The thing that went through my eyes is that, how am I going to stop this? An injury and all these things was flashing before my eyes. But you know what? God in His providence caused us to go over the embankment and land on the dock. I was so glad that my wife was in there. We'd be in real trouble then. But my children were holding on to Daddy. And God in His providence kept us and saved us, which I believe from a terrible accident. Maybe it could have been fatal. Maybe it could have been some broken bones. But God was there with us. The face of good fortune. I don't know. No, it wasn't God's grace. But when I look at the story of Barabbas, and the face of Barabbas is truly the face of good fortune. Someone has said that no one has a better thing happen to a man on the day of his expected crucifixion. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross that was prepared for Barabbas. And can you imagine that the day before the Sabbath, Barabbas was supposed to be on the cross, suspended, maybe in that middle cross, not maybe, most likely. But instead of being on that middle cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was placed there. And so on the Sabbath of that week, the Lord Jesus Christ was laying in a tomb because of his death. Barabbas was asleep, probably in his own bed. And I believe that this story graphically sets forth the central truth of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. Barabbas might not have understood that day that Jesus Christ took his place on the cross, that he should have been on that center cross. But someone by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth took his place. And this evening we want to talk about that. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is a substitute for the sins of the world. And maybe you've heard this before. And no doubt you will hear it again, because it is the central theme of the gospel message. We cannot get around it. Jesus Christ became a sin offering for the sins of the world. And as we look at this story, three things I want to point out before I sit. It's the undeserved fortune of Barabbas, the unsought fortune of Barabbas, and the unrestricted fortune of Barabbas. First of all, note with me an undeserved fortune. Barabbas deserved to die. Justice had finally caught up with him, the Bible tells us. Barabbas, the Bible tells us, was an insurrectionist. He was against the Romans and the Romans were against him. He had committed murder. And now he was captured and he was in prison and he was going to be crucified. But before you and I get smug, we need to remember ourselves that we too, those of us who were Christians, were condemned to die. But because of the death of Jesus Christ, we stand here and you sit there in the righteousness of God. But Barabbas, you and I, had undeserved favor. His favor was undeserved, first of all, because of wasted opportunities. Barabbas means son of a father. There are those who believe that this probably indicates that he was the son of a rabbi. His full name, by some, is not only Jesus Barabbas, but the son of a rabbi. And if that is so, this man grew up in a home where a rabbi was, where someone, a minister who would be in our day, who knew the word of God, who was instructed in the word of God, and who taught the word of God. Barabbas had the opportunity to learn about the things of God in the synagogue. No doubt Barabbas was with his father as he ascended and went into the temple and went to the ceremonial laws and offered up the various sacrifices. He was exposed to the things of God in his early life. And yet, Barabbas rebelled against these things. He had a special opportunity. He was brought up in a place where he had spiritual development. But he failed to take advantage of all those things that he was exposed to. And maybe I'm talking to someone in here this evening. You, under the sound of my voice, you've been raised, maybe not in a minister's home, maybe not in a minister of the gospel home, but you have been exposed to the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. In your home, you had morning devotions. You would come to the gospel chapel on Sunday mornings and you were brought up in the Sunday school. You would attend the Monday evenings and the youth meetings. And I know that many of you go off to camp during the summer in the Carolinas, and you know, you attend camp and you go to conferences, and you have conferences here. And those of you who are here and you are seated in your seats and you have never trusted Christ, you have been exposed to the truth of Jesus Christ. Just like that young man, Barabbas. And yet, Barabbas was the recipient of someone taking his place. He was an undeserved fortune because of wasted opportunities. He was exposed to the truth, and yet he found himself in jail facing death. And you are seated here this evening. You have been exposed to the truth of the gospel over and over and over by men more qualified and more eloquent than I am to preach this gospel. And yet you are still in your sins. And yet God has allowed you to be here, to hear this gospel one more time, not only proclaimed by the word, but in song that has been sung tonight. How are you going to respond? The grace of God has allowed you to be here. Let me tell you a story, a true story, of a young man that I knew, who grew up in our assemblies, just like you sitting here and know Christ, but you're not saved. As a matter of fact, his father preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. His father, as a result of his training, traveled through these islands working for the government. And one time he had a stint here in Saudi Lutheran. His job brought him here, on the mainland. And his job eventually brought him to Grand Bahama, where his children were involved in the youth meeting in the Sunday School of Freeport Gospel Chapel. And this young man, along with his siblings, was exposed to the truth of God's word. And eventually they moved back to their island of their origin, of their birth. And the young man went up to college and became educated and got his degrees, and he moved into Freeport, and he began to attend the Freeport Gospel Chapel again. And man, one of the elders approached him about his commitment to Christ. He said, "Oh, I'm not ready. I'm living a certain way. I'm not ready to commit yet." And then we began to miss him. And someone met him and he said, "Well, I'm studying for my CPA to be an accountant. So when I'm done with that, I'm going to come back." He got a CPA and he never darkened the door of the church again. A few years later, one of the elders met him and talked to him about his soul and the things of Christ. And he said, "I don't know if God exists. I don't know if there is a God." He was an agnostic. Another brother met him a few years later. And he better began to talk with him, to share with him. And as he talked with the young man, he began to realize this young man had lived a life of sin. He had gotten involved in high finance, so much so that he became a courier, that he had 4 or 5 passports, that he'd be moving money from one country to another country. And so he'll be Mr. So-and-so in this country, and when he goes into another country, presents another passport. This is the type of life that this young man got involved in. He never got caught. But he finally settled down again in Freeport and got a prestigious position in the Port Authority in Grand Bahama. But again, this young man who had an opportunity to know God and to follow God and to trust God, rejected God. He was willing, he decided that he was going to build a business back in his home island, and he began to do that, and someone met him. He said, "I'm almost done. The building is finished, and all I need is 2 more years of working for this company. When that's done, I should have accumulated sufficient funds to go back home and live." Within a year time, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And within another year, he was dead. This young man wasted the opportunity that he had. He was exposed to the truth. He rejected the truth. And as a result of that, someone has said, if you live far away from God in life, when you die, you die far away from God. And he did. Barabbas had an undeserved fortune. Jesus took his place. That young man who I spoke about knew the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he wasted the opportunity. I'm saying to you here tonight, if you don't know Christ, you have an opportunity to trust Christ. You have been exposed to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do not waste this opportunity. Do not turn like that young man. Do not turn like Barabbas. Do not end up in the state that they ended up with. In. Get an undeserved fortune because of wasted opportunities, because of the broken law. Mark's Gospel chapter 15 tells us about this man. There was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Barabbas had broken the law of man. He had broken the law of God. He had been a terrorist against the Roman government. He was a devoted member of the Zealots. He was committed to overthrowing the Roman rule. And in pursuing this goal, he broke the second half of all the commandments. And you see, my friend, that's the essence of sin. When we break the law of God, he had been guilty of violating the word and the law of God. He knew the law. He knew what the law says, and yet he violated it. Someone has said, so, and rightly so, if Jesus was going to die in the place of someone else, certainly he wouldn't die in the place of someone like Barabbas. But thank God in the providence of God, Jesus did take the place of Barabbas, that the great truth of the gospel might be revealed. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. Christ died for me. Christ died for sinners. Barabbas, the face of good fortune. It was an undeserved good fortune because of the wasted opportunities that he had. Because of the breaking of God's laws. Do you know if you broke God's law, the Bible says you're guilty of all? If you've lied in your life, I think all of us would admit that we have to be broken God's law. If you've ever disobeyed your parents, you've broken God's law and you are condemned to die. There are some people who are under the delusion that they are good. The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And from a spiritual point of view, when God looks at the sinner, we are like spiritual lepers. He sees us in the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet. He sees us as violators of his laws. So we are guilty. And for Barabbas, it was an undeserved fortune. For you tonight, you are undeserving of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but God and his grace has allowed you to be here, to be able to hear this message and call you to repentance, to turn from your sins and turn to the Almighty God. It was undeserved. But also it was unsought. There's nowhere in this passage that I read where you see Barabbas, anything historical, desiring to be set free. As Barabbas stayed in his cell, awaiting his crucifixion, he never, I think, thought to ask anyone to take his place. He simply assumed, I believe, that his crime had caught up with him, and it was time to pay the piper. It was time to pay. It was time for him to face justice. That's what I believe Barabbas did. And so, it was an unsought. He didn't seek to be released. He didn't seek that anyone would take his place. Think about this scenario as we read from verse 29 to verse 23. Pilate sits on his judgment seat and in the judgment hall. And he asks them, he says, now, I have an opportunity to release to you one prisoner. In order to release Jesus, because he wanted to get out of this mess, he knew that they'd only deliver Jesus because of their envy. And he knew that the only way maybe he can get Jesus off without seeming to be biased toward Christ and not seeming to be Caesar's enemy, he offered them the worst prisoner that was in their jail, that was in their dungeon. And he says, you choose now between Barabbas and Christ. And if you note the scenario in the passage, they chose Barabbas. And he asked them the question, riddle of the twain in verse 21, will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. And they probably said in a loud voice, and Barabbas may be nearby somewhere, not hearing Pilate's voice, but he could hear the people hearing his name called, Barabbas. Then verse 22, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do with him, with Jesus, which is called Christ? They say unto him, let him be crucified. And so in one breath, he hears the people call his name, Barabbas. And the next breath they hear, he hears them say, crucify him. No doubt Barabbas began to shake in his boots, began to shake in his sandals. Crucify Barabbas. And the governor said, why, what evil had he done? And they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And so all Barabbas could hear was his name, and all he could hear was, crucify him, crucify him. And he knew. Maybe there was a chance, but they're calling for my death. And so, an unsought fortune, he knew that he couldn't get out. But then, here comes the guards with the key, and unlocks his door and says, Barabbas, you're free. He looked at the guard, probably, and he remembers the noise of the crowd, crucify him, Barabbas, crucify him, crucify him. And he says, please, don't joke with me. Don't play games with me. I know that I am condemned to die. I know I'm going to be crucified. Don't play with me. But they said, no, you are free. Don't play this twisted prank on me. I heard the verdict by the people. They want me dead. They want me crucified. But the God says, no. There is a man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth who's going to die on that middle cross. The people weren't saying crucify you. They were saying crucify Jesus. They asked for you to be set free. He said, you can see him now. You're kidding, aren't you? You really mean that I can go free? God said, yes, Jesus is taking your place. He's taking your place. The news was true. Jesus of Nazareth was going to die in his place. He did not seek this. He did not sought for this to happen, but it did. And maybe you as a sinner, and sinners don't seek after God. Jesus did not die in your place and in my place because we appealed to him to do so. Jesus did not go to Calvary because there was a great cry, there was a great shout, there was an immense desire for many people from earth that he would come to the earth and die in our place. That was not the case. In fact, the Bible says, and speaking from the context of the Jews, but also can include us the Gentiles, he came unto his own and his own received him not. The people said in this passage, we don't want this man. Away with him. We want Barabbas. Crucify him. That's what they said. But the Lord Jesus Christ came. Even though you didn't seek him. And I didn't seek him. The Bible says, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand. There is none that seeketh after God. Yet he came. That he might be the substitute for your sins and for my sins on the cross. It was an unsought fortune. He came. He died. Why? Because he loved you and he loved me. He came and went to that cross Because he knew that you and I could not keep God's law. Matter of fact, we had broken God's law. Matter of fact, all we like sheep had gone astray. We had turned everyone to his own way. And so God now lays on the Lord Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. We didn't seek him. We didn't want him. Maybe tonight you came in here and you don't want God. God is speaking to your heart. He wants you. And every time I think about my salvation experience, I never sought God. God was the last thing on my mind. And even as I lie on the floor in our living room on the 5th of August, 1979, asking the question, there must be more to life, I still wasn't thinking about God. And yet, that evening, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, a young man who was involved in drinking and carousing experienced a new birth. Because God maneuvered in such a way, God sought me and God saved me. And maybe you came in here tonight because maybe it's just a tradition. You come to church on Sunday night. Maybe you came to hear the good singing from the choir and from the quartets and the solos and the duets and the trios. That's why you've come. But unknown to you, God has a word for you tonight. He says, even though you're not seeking me, I'm seeking you. I want you. Barabbas did not seek for the Lord Jesus Christ to take his place. But he did. Note the unrestricted fortune of this man. The Bible says in verse 15, now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. Verse 26, then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The freedom of Barabbas. All Barabbas had to do was walk out of the jail. And he was a free man. Since the Lord Jesus Christ was going to die in his place by Pilate's decree, the Roman law had no more claim on him. His debt to society would be paid. And I believe it must have taken Barabbas some time to understand it and to grasp that and to realize what had happened. Maybe when he saw Roman soldiers walking, maybe hid in the shadows, thinking maybe that they are looking for him. But I'm sure one day it dawned on him that it was true, that he was free, that there was unrestricted freedom. That the Romans weren't looking for him anymore. He was a free man. Because someone died in his place. He had the good fortune to receive unrestricted freedom at the expense of someone else. He was released because Jesus Christ was scourged for him. Jesus Christ went to that middle cross. My friend, what I'm saying to you tonight, that there's freedom through the gospel of Jesus Christ for you. Someone has said the gospel, forgiveness must be one of God's greatest gifts to humanity. It means that God has canceled all of your sin debt. It means, my friend, that your sin, when you trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, could never rise in judgment against you again. That there's total and absolute forgiveness. When an individual comes to the cross of Jesus Christ and acknowledge that they are sinners, there is forgiveness. All their guilt are gone. The Bible says he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you are being healed. The Bible says in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There is forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Barabbas was set free from a prison because Jesus took his place. My friend, you can be set free from the power and the penalty of sins in your life because Jesus went to the cross and you apply that truth in your heart and into your life, and you can be cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness, the Bible says. You can know freedom from condemnation. You can know freedom from guilt. There are other people who are walking around with guilt on their minds. It is said that the author of the Sherlock Holmes novels, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, had 12 close friends, and he wrote them a letter for as a prank. And the notes said to each of them, "All is discovered, all is lost." And within 24 hours, all of them had left the country. Because they were guilty about something. They left the country. But my friend, when you come to Jesus Christ, when you admit that you are a sinner, He releases you, He frees you from the guilt of sins. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. There's freedom from the stains of sin. Comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul could exclaim, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Jesus Christ." Because only through the blood and the death of the Lord Jesus is there forgiveness, is there unrestricted fortune and freedom for the individual. You want to be free from the sins of your conscience? You want to be cleansed from all unrighteousness? Trust Jesus Christ. Barabbas, because Christ took his place, he had unrestricted freedom. He could move about. He was free. When you come to Christ, you are free in God, and there's now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No matter your age, from the oldest person who's unsaved here to the youngest, there is freedom in Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. Barabbas accepted Jesus' death in his place. He gladly walked out of the jail and allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to die in his place. I don't know if Barabbas ever realized the meaning of substitution. I don't know if he ever realized that. But we have no excuse to neglect its significance today. Substitution simply means that Christ died in your place and in my place on the cross. That's the basic meaning of it. Some years ago, Dr. Charles Allen tells a story of a young man by the name of Bill. Maybe you heard the story. He was in the Navy in World War II. One night a ship came ashore in Boston, and he decided to visit his pastor and friend. During the visit, his pastor asked him, "Bill, tell me the most exciting experience you have had so far." Bill hesitated, the story says. It wasn't that he had trouble selecting the most exciting experience. Rather, the experience he had in mind was so wonderful and sacred that he had trouble putting it into words. Bill was the captain of a large transport that, along with a convoy, was making its way across the Atlantic. And one day, an enemy submarine rose in the sea a short distance away. Bill saw the torpedo coming directly towards his transport, loaded with hundreds of young men. He had no time to change course. And through the loudspeaker, he shouted, "Boys, this is it." Nearby was a small escorting destroyer. The captain of the destroyer also saw the submarine and the torpedo. Without a moment's hesitation, he gave the order, "Full speed ahead." The tiny destroyer
eased into the path of the torpedo, taking the full impact of the deadly missile midship. The destroyer blew apart and sank quickly. Every man of the crew was lost. For a long time, Bill remained silent. Then he glanced up at his beloved pastor and said, "The skipper of the destroyer was my best friend." Again, Bill was quiet for a while. And then he said slowly, "You know, there is a verse in the Bible that has special meaning for me now. It is, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." My friend, when you think about that story, and as wonderful as that is, but the Bible says to us that we were not Jesus' friends. The Bible said that we were his enemies. The Bible said that we were ungodly. The Bible said that we were without strength. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, like Bill's friend, died as a substitute, died for Bill. The Lord Jesus Christ died for you. And he loves you even though you are rebelling against him right now. Jesus Christ took the place of Barabbas, even though Barabbas was not even conscious, wasn't any concern about his own spiritual well-being. Yet Jesus took his place. He took your place. He took my place on the cross. And the question this evening is, how would you respond to such a demonstration of love and grace and mercy? How would you respond tonight as he says, "Come unto me, all you are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? How would you respond tonight? He says, if you are guilty, and I know you are guilty, if you are burdened with your sin, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. How are you going to respond tonight? Will you walk out here again, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, with all of your burdens, with all of your sin, with all of your guilt? My friend, what a pity. What a pity to waste this opportunity to trust the Savior of the world. Turn your song books to 272, 73, as we close. 273. "Only a step to Jesus, and why not take it now? Come in thy sin confessing, to him thy Savior bow. Only a step. Only a step. Come, he waits for thee. Come and thy sin confessing. Thou shalt receive a blessing. Do not reject the mercy he freely offers thee." 273.